Thank you all. Great job this morning. Well, good morning. How are we doing, church? A few of us are good. Whoop. Catch that. Thanks. Hey, well, we are excited to just continue our sermon series on soul care. And we have been examining just kind of the state of our souls and how our souls are doing. And often we've talked about just how life can be difficult and busy, and we can, New Year's resolutions, we can take care of a lot of things. We can go back to the gym, we can have new work goals, career goals, all of these things. But sometimes our soul, the inside us, gets tossed off to the side. And we don't work on how the inside us, and that's how we're kind of defining the inside us, as our soul, that our inside, how the inside is doing. And so today we're going to look at a downcast soul. What happens when you're down? Does your soul ever surprise you sometimes? Mine does. I'll tell this little story it was months ago. But so I'm driving along, and we have spots here in Fullerton. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm pulling on a stoplight, and I'm about to go left onto the freeway, and there's people that are merging off the freeway and coming in. It was a Saturday, so it was packed and crowded. And I just missed the light. And so I'm sitting there in the front, got the family in the car, and we're here, and everyone's turning in onto the freeway. But as I'm noticing, traffic's just like packing up, and you know how people just clog the middle of the intersection? And the light turns yellow, and I'm like, they better get out of my way. Light turns red for them, they're still there, and it's gridlocked. My light goes green. Nobody's going anywhere. I'm just like, oh, are you kidding me? Like, so I sit there and it's green. The whole light goes, it turns yellow, red, nobody moves. Turns red, they all clear out. I'm like, oh. So I sit there. Second time, happens again. People trying to like rush to get, you know, just gotta be that last car to make it. And they sit through our whole green light blocking our intersection. Three people sit there, they wanted to rush in and they ruined the whole line for everybody else. I kid you not, third time happens again. The poor soul in front of me, you know, I'm just like, are you kidding me? Pastor loses it. I'm furious, man. Three times green lights, sat there, sat through that final one. And I was just like, man, are you kidding me? I'm like trying to tell the person, three times I've been through this. Poor soul didn't know that happened. But I mean, they were just trying to make that red light, right? And I was just like, man, like I just laid into that person. Now I didn't get out of my car and beat him up, although I wanted to. But I was sitting there, I was so frustrated. And I was just like, man, how could you let, at the end of the day, a lot of us I'm sure can relate, it's frustrating. But I was like, man, how could I let something small, it was only a few minutes of my day, like, how could I just lose it like that? Are you ever surprised sometimes by the anger of your soul, or maybe just being downcast and just like, ah, oh. And we go through these things. Sometimes maybe we're in just kind of a dead-end job, and we're just down. Or maybe you're trying to figure out how to pay for college or career path, and you're trying to figure that out, and you're not sure, and your soul is just down. Or maybe you've heard bad news, chronic illness or something. Or maybe life is good and you still feel down. Hey, we've talked about you can be in a sea, a crowded room and still feel lonely. Your external circumstances don't always determine your internal state, your soul. Things can be great on the outside, but our souls can be struggling. There's a word we're going to look at this morning that deals with kind of a downcast soul. What happens when our soul is depressed? And where I always share this, man, I've gotten time after time when we're looking at this, maybe you're down today and you're just coming in and you're saying, hey, I need my soul to come alive. But maybe you're just, life is good, you're on cloud nine, things are good. I encourage you to store this up. If this isn't you right now, store it up for another day, because Jesus says, not if the rains will come, when they come. They do come. It says, store it up. And then if not, how could you bring this word of encouragement to somebody else? But I tell you, I sound like a broken record on that first point, because I can't tell you how many emails I get. Sometimes that week, somebody sends an email and says, I had no idea this Sunday that you were preaching, preparing me for this bomb that was about to go off this week. Now, I'm not trying to set you up for bombs. I hope I don't want to freak you guys out. But the rain does come. And a good, healthy soul will know how to prepare. Just like anything with our finances, you have an emergency fund. You know how to prepare for when something hits. You don't want to be caught looking around, oh, I didn't see this coming. It's here, so how do we prepare for this? Let's look at Psalm. We're going to turn to Psalm 42. And go ahead and in your Bibles, turn there with me. And if you don't, sorry, I'm fighting this thing right here. If you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews. Grab one of those. That's our gift to you. If not, we'll throw it up on the screen. You can follow along on your phone. So Psalms, it's right in the middle. Psalm is right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 42 is where we're going. So it says this. The psalmist is writing. He says, I'm just going to go ahead and read this whole psalm here. It says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Now, what I love about this, sometimes this verse is like the coffee cup verse. You know, it's like people put this on their verse, like on their coffee cups, and it's like, it's this beautiful, oh, and it's good imagery. But then look, it starts to get real, verse 2. So imagine this. This is being sung. This is a song that is sung. It says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from the Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I love this psalm. It gets real in so many ways. It starts out, my soul thirsts for the living God, but then he gets in and he goes, and things get really real. We're going to look at six steps. How do we kind of prepare when we have a downcast soul? What do we do to prepare our souls? Or if we're in the middle of it, how do we handle it? And it's not exactly the order, but we'll just kind of break it down. I know some of you are like, Rob, man, normally you have three boxes. You have six today. Don't worry, it's not going to be a six-hour sermon. We're good, okay? I'll keep it to three. Just kidding. So let's look at these steps. First step, ask God why. The psalmist asks God why. He goes through this and he says, here in verse 9, he says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Now, today, this isn't an exhaustive sermon on how suffering and why suffering exists in our life. I encourage you, if you are dealing with that and you're just dealing with some difficult stuff, we went through a sermon series called Habakkuk. It's an Old Testament book. I encourage you to go back, listen to that online. It was just a formative time and journey when we were kind of somebody that was wrestling through a difficult season, in fact, a whole nation. But let me answer real briefly just why we go through suffering. The Bible, we don't always know. But what I love what the psalmist does, he asks God why. Maybe some of us grew up in a culture where, oh, no, you don't ask God those things. How dare you say, God, I mean, listen how real it is. Why have you forgotten me? God, you forgot about me. Where are you? That's what I love. For some reason, the Psalms are in the Bible because there's this exploration that we can have with God. God, where are you? I'm here. Have you forgot about my pain, my suffering? And the Psalms are just real and they're honest. But that we would be not afraid to cry out to him. So here's just real briefly, quick things. Sometimes God allows suffering in our life because it's correction. If just like with difficult times, my daughters always ask for Skittles or some candy, and I'd say, no, you have to eat broccoli and milk and these sorts of things, right? And they cry and And as much as, you know, no matter how painful it is for them, I still lead them to the right thing. So sometimes it's painful and we don't understand. They don't understand, right? Skittles every day, that's like the go-to. But no, their soul, their lives, their body needs something else. And then quickly, the other thing, sometimes God, it's for our correction, or sometimes God allows it to strengthen us, to grow us, but sometimes it's to correct us. And we've been in a destructive pattern. He says, no, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go this way. Another reason God allows it is sometimes he puts you in the middle of pain and suffering. And God actually doesn't physically cause that, but he allows it because, as the psalmist says, he's in control. The reason he doesn't pull you out from that is that he needs you to be in there with somebody else that's suffering to bring healing. And by removing you would cause more damage. So sometimes God corrects us. Something, it's something we've done wrong. Sometimes he uses it to strengthen us. So you don't need to say, what did I do wrong? He's just doing it to make you even a better person. Or sometimes he's just using it and he wants to use you to bless others. There's far more than that, but that's just kind of a surface thing. But I do want us to say this. Don't be afraid to ask God why. You might not get all of the answers, but ask him. Figure it out. Ask him. And we might not ever know, but you can ask. You can wrestle with God. I would even say, don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid you're down and you're downcast. Don't be afraid to lay it all out. God, how could you? Be real with God. That's what he's looking for. So the second one is question your soul. Because if we don't always get all of the answers and it leaves us in the state of, well, why God? The next step I would encourage you is to question your soul. Question your soul. Think about the voices that come up in your life. Think about the voices that tell you you're insignificant. The voices that may say, ah, you're a loser, you're this. Oh, you're never going to mount. No, you know why somebody rejected you that way, or maybe they didn't invite you, or something happened? The voices in your head will say, well, you're a loser. You won't amount to anything. Question those voices. Question, ask them. Do not let the voices in your head become reality. God has a different reality for you. And so question them. Question your emotions. He says here in verse 5, why so disturbed within me? You will notice how you treat something when it gets removed from you. Question your soul. Maybe a relationship, a breakup, something happened, or a career path that was blocked. Ask your soul, soul, why so disturbed? What were you hoping to get from that, soul? Oh, did you think that career, did you think that person was going to complete you? So ask yourself these questions. I ask myself, soul, like, why so disturbed within me? Why haven't the Raiders got to the Super Bowl for 15 years? But who's counting, right? 34 years since the Super Bowl. And you sit there, and as a sports fan, it's like, why do I get upset after a game? Soul, what are you doing? So here's a little caveat, though. Be kind to your soul. Don't tell your soul, oh, you moron, don't put your hope in sports. Be gentle. Your soul's sensitive. Be kind. Question your soul, but also know others are going through the same thing. Here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to write it off and say, well, yeah, everybody has pain, everyone has suffering, get over it. No. Why are you disturbed? There's something going on. So question your soul. Probe, ask your soul, but be gentle to your soul. Third, lead your soul back to God. Lead your soul. If you're looking at the text, he does this in verse 5. He first questions his soul, why so disturbed within me? Then put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. Friends, let's talk to your soul. Talk to our souls. Put your soul in check. Because your soul will say, oh, your soul will go kind of to and fro and back and forth. But you need to, your soul needs a leader. Your soul needs to be guided because our souls can kind of waver by emotions. But our souls need to be directed and guided. And that's what the psalmist does here. He says, put your hope in God, soul. We remind ourselves that God is eternal and what we might be going through is temporary. And so check our souls, lead our souls. Because think about this, the voices in our head, don't they end up leading us? Don't all the worries and all the things that say, well, you should be like this person. Or, oh, why don't you do that? Think about how much of our life is guided and directed by those little voices. But what if we began to direct our voice, those little voices, with true leadership and point them back to God? And say, no, let me put your hope. You, Rob, put your hope in football, on a terrible football team. Put your hope in a better team. No, put your hope in God. Soul, why are you so disturbed? Lead your soul. And so the psalmist is wrestling. And notice he goes back to it and he hasn't resolved it yet. And he's like, why have you forgotten me, God? So it's this back and forth. It's this roller coaster of emotions. But he's trying to encourage his soul. Put your hope in God. Our souls need a leader. And God is our ultimate leader. The fourth one, sing a song, pray a prayer. Sing a song, pray a prayer. I'll explain that. Look at this right here in verse 8. It says, by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So as we're talking to our souls, sometimes this song, this psalm was a song. Sing. Some of the wonderful worship songs we sing up here, put those in your memory, sing them. Cry out to God. Notice in the scriptures, the Psalms, as you sing them, they're actually, you get to sing them back to God. He says that here, a prayer to the God of my life. Sing songs to God in your pain. And some of the greatest songs, not even church songs, in our history have been songs that come out of pain. Have you noticed you can relate to songs out of somebody's pain, even if it's not your own journey and struggle? But there's something about a song that comes out of anguish. So don't be afraid to cry out to God and saying, hey, here's the pain, here's what I'm going through. Make it a psalm. And in fact, as we fill our lives, I encourage you to get into God's word during the week. Pray the psalms back to him. Pray his truth. Notice what he does here. Verse 2, he says, my soul thirsts. He calls on God for who he is. He says, for the living God. And then he goes on and he's saying, I say to God, my rock, in verse 9. He mentions in verse 7, deep calls to deep in the roars of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. He's acknowledging this word called sovereignty, that God is in control of all of these things. And so we need to know, even in the pain and the suffering that you and I are going through, God is still in control. He is a rock that is unchanging and he will not move. And that's what the psalmist does. He grounds himself in God's goodness. Notice this right here in this verse. He says, by day the Lord directs his what? His love at night. Especially in the times of discipline and correction and pain and suffering, our souls need to know that God loves us. Look at this fascinating part in the text. It says this, that by day the Lord directs his love at night, his song is with me. His, his song. God's song. What is God's song? Look at this. You can turn there. We'll throw it up on the screen. This little verse, Zephaniah 3, 17 says this. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. His love will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God's song is a song that rejoices over you. Yeah, Rob, but you don't know what I've... God rejoices over you. No matter what you've been through or where you're going, what you've done, it says the Lord will no longer correct you, rebuke you. He sings over you. In the middle of your pain and your suffering, would you hear the loving voice of the Father? Who sings over you. He has a song with your name in it. And so as you lay down to go to sleep, and notice the psalmist, this isn't just some happy, his food is his tears. I mean, this is real. It's like snot and tears, and it's not this just a deer pants the coffee cup verse. This is real life. And he's saying, but there's a song, the creator of the universe is singing over you. He sings over us, and we need to hear that in the night, day and night that he sings. Let's go to these last two points. To thirst. Our souls, that we would thirst for God. See that at the very beginning? My soul, verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Notice this. Living God. In God, there's life. In God, there's goodness. And in fact, he says, when can I go and meet with God? There's this separation that he has from God. And other translations actually put it here as saying, when can I get back to being face to face with God? When can I be in the presence of God? We explored a little of that last week. And in fact, all throughout the scriptures, do you know when it brings up kind of this face to face with God? It's actually in the house, in the courts of the Lord. In times like this. Look in verse 4. It says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One. So there's something about this, the service, the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. So here and there, describing church, describing the community of God, it says this, there's protection, there's joy, praise. It's festive. Festive. A few weeks ago, we shot off confetti in here celebrating our 125th anniversary. I love the fact God not only rejoices over you, Jesus says when anybody turns from his own path in destruction and turns back to God, heaven throws a party. Man, I want to be up there. I mean, just every few seconds, somebody that turns from death to life, woo! It's a party. Who's Jim? Oh, I love Jim. Let's go. That's what this is, heaven's like. Man, friends, at church is a party. And you know what I love? A few weeks ago on the 125th anniversary, it said, we had one of our students say, man, church isn't just a room full of people listening to Pastor Rob preach. I was like, come on, preach. He said, we're a family. We're a community. Friends, maybe, and even some of us that are listening to this online, maybe we've lost our way in the sense there's something special. I want to remind us that there's something special that comes, that happens here in this room right now. And if you're listening online, there's not shame and guilt, but I want to encourage you and love you to come to this room. Because what the Bible said, that there's something, we didn't just figure this out. This church 125 years ago, the worship service, it isn't something we just thought of. They're singing songs to God. There's a message. This has been something that has gone on for thousands of years. But what happens in this room, the presence of God fills this place in a unique way. God, yes, is everywhere. But there's something special about this room that we're, changes happened in our last service this morning. We had few people make decisions for the very first time to cross over from death to life. Transformation happens in this very room. things are radically changed. There are parties going on in heaven on what happens, decisions that are made in this room. God promises to meet you in a special way. And so, friends, as the psalmist writes, man, I look back to be in that special place. I encourage you to fight to be in the special place where God shows up in a unique way. Honestly, we could just sit there and listen to podcasts and play a few songs, but we know it's not the same as gathering with the community. Something special happens here, and it's more from anybody up front. There's something that God does. And so thirst for God, the living God. The last and final point. Some of you didn't believe I'd give you all six, huh? Sometimes I only give you one. I made it and give you all six. Note takers, I love you. By the way, hey, how about those new note cards? Are you guys liking those? Or Graphics Guy? Come on. Graphics Guy did those. And so, but here's the last one. Let God refresh your soul. Let God refresh your soul. You know, it's interesting that scholars think that these two psalms, Psalm 42 and actually 43, are connected. Listen what the psalmist writes in 43. Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. We've been talking about lead your own soul, but what if we would let God, let your light, your faithful love, let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar to God, my joy and my delight, and I will praise you with the lyre, oh my God. God is offering to lead us. You know, there's this line right here, says this in verse 2. When can I go and meet with God? Maybe you've felt far from God. Maybe you're at a spot where you're missing something in your life and you're looking for something more. When can I go and be with God? When can I get that? And so I encourage you, here's the thing. The psalmist is writing, when can I go and meet with God? What Jesus says here in the New Testament, he makes this promise. In John, he says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, and as the scripture has said, rivers of water will flow from within them. Whoever drinks from the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. When can you go and meet with God? Now. Jesus says, I come so you may have life. Let Jesus lead your soul, whether you've been a believer for a long time. Let him lead your soul. Let him refresh your soul. Thirst for it as a deer pants for living water. There's nothing else your soul wants more than the living God. Thirst for it. Are you hungry for it? Quench your thirst in the springs of the water. Jesus says, I give living water for your soul. You want life, eternal life? You find it in me. The invitation is open for anyone. And maybe you're hearing this for the first time and Jesus is offering this to you here today. He says, I have living water. Your soul is thirsty. You're thirsty for something that you can't find on this earth. And I'm here offering it to you today, this morning. In a moment, we're gonna pray. And that invitation is open for anyone that says, yes, I want living water. That trust that says, I haven't been able to find it elsewhere. Maybe things are good. Worship team, we'll welcome you back on up. But as we pray, I encourage you, the invitation is here. When can you go and meet with God? You can meet with him here, right now, as we talk to him, face to face. Let's pray. Father, why are our souls downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Or Father, I'm looking for something more. Maybe some of us here today, if we're in that space where we're thirsty, we're looking for more, would you pray this prayer with me? God, I am thirsty. There's something in my life. I've gone far from you. I want more of you. God, lead me back to you. Lead me to the cross where I find hope, forgiveness, healing. That we would hear the tender voice of you, that you sing over us, that you rejoice over us. You went to the cross for me. God, I surrender. I trust that you died on the cross and you rose again so I could have living water. If you prayed this prayer and made this commitment here today, with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, would you take a step of faith right now and raise your hand? God sees you. God sees you. May you know when you leave this place that living water is offered here and now and for when wherever you go. Father, may we know as we've gone astray, may we come back to you and find life in you and your word. May we sing songs to you throughout the week. Even when our souls are downcast and disturbed, may we find joy in you, our Savior, our God. God, we thank you for life and life to the full that you offer. May we walk in that and may we sing to that. God, we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.